Fine. So this time Parsha from Abu Dhabi. Yay. all the things I never thought I'd say. The last time we talked about two contradicting midrashic traditions as to the motivation of the Meraglim, or the status of the Meraglim. I've been thinking about a different tension in the midrash. This time that I don't know how much their intention, but they're definitely two different foci, and I think it's interesting to think about them. And that is, although at the end of the parsha, we get the parsha of Tzitzit, and in the parsha of Tzitzit, we get the warning of Lo Tasuru Acharei Levavchem Acharei Einichem. So Rashi quotes one midrashic tradition from the Tanchuma, where he says that what is the implied connection between Einayim and Lev, such that the pasuk juxtaposes them. Right, what does Rashi say? This is the one you're probably more familiar with. No? Right, so Tanchuma says, right, so Rashi has a slightly different version. We did do it in Tfilah, right? But something along the lines of, though Rashi tweaks it, which is, Ha'inayim, so in the Midrash it says, Sirsirin Lalev, or Sirsirin Laguf. They are the agents of. Rashi obviously tweaks it. Right, I mean, Rashi tweaks it to make it clear what the connection to our Parsha is, and saying that Ha'inayim Miraglim Lalev, right, that the eyes are the spies of the heart. And then it follows from there that Halev Chomed, Ha'inayim Roeb, Halev Chomed, right, the eyes see, which leads to the desire of the heart, which leads to action. Right, that's the Tanchuma's connection of Levavchem Acharei Einichem. Now obviously there are other traditions that don't really focus on this at all. Other midrashic traditions that say things like Lo Tasuru Acharei Levavchem, Levavchem being Minut, and Einichem being Arayot, right, or Znut, right, where they think it's two different things, right, sexual desire versus avodah zarah. But this midrashic tradition assumes that there's a connection, right, and what you're learning here is that that one causes the other. But what's the motivation? It sounds like from the Tanchuma. Right, the eyes. Right? Once you've allowed the images, the desire, right, once you've allowed sort of the sensory perception, right, so then, but in Bamidbar Rabbah, you get a different tradition, and the question is this intention, right? So in Bamidbar Rabbah, what you get is, Magid Shehein Ha'inayim Holchim Achar Halev. From here you learn that the eyes follow the heart. How do you get that? What's the Midrash's argument? So he says, oh, how do you know? He says, maybe you would say, oh, Halev Acharei Einayim, right? Maybe it's the heart is really following the eyes. Amarta v'chi lo yeshuma she'oseh kol to'evot sheba'olam. If that was the case, it shouldn't be true that blind people sin. Right? But they do. Right? Therefore, mata omud lomar, lo zir achar levavchem achar einichem. And Magid Shehinayim Olchem Achar Halev. Right, which teaches that the heart follows it. Now, this is a very different perspective, right? So, right, so this is really the question. Is it a different perspective, or are they both true? Right, you don't know, right? Meaning, one way is to say that these are actually two different conceptions of what leads to sin, right? One is sensory, right? And then that starts affecting the way you think, the way you feel, what you do, right? That's one vision. The other vision is that it starts in your imagination, right? You imagine, and then, right, so again, so one version, right, could be these are actually intention, right? That one is saying it's, you know, sensory first, and the other is saying, no, in the end of the day, it starts in your imagination, and the way you imagine things colors the way you view the world. And whether or not you can see something physically doesn't really matter, because what in the end of the day leads you to sin is the way you conceptualize it, the way you imagine it, whether you let your desires take hold, and if they do, right, so then you'll see the world in a certain way. And in that sense, right, these different traditions might actually be thinking psychologically differently about the nature of humanity, about free will and things like that, where one is saying, look, at the end of the day, sin, you know, you're exposed to certain things, and then, you know, the rest is, right, sort of inevitable, and the best you can do to prevent sin is to avoid the interactions you're going to have in the world that will shape your, right, the way you feel, the way you act, and things like that. The best thing you do is set up a get there that you're never exposed to that. Right? Bitzacheni, right, you could say no. The other midrash says, look, at the end of the day, things can be completely neutral, right? If you're spaced out and you don't notice something, right, no big deal. But if you build something up in your mind, right, you think about, you know, a woman that you're attracted to, and you just, right, imagine it, and, you know, you build that up in your mind, and then you see her, right, it's like, right, that's, right, really it was the imagination, and, right, and the dwelling on it that led to the heightened desire, and then seeing just sort of, in, right, actualizes that in the real world, but it's really the imagination. And that obviously gives you a lot more room for, let's say, free will, right? You're saying is what's really causing the sin is that the person is imagining it and dwelling on it and fantasizing, right? And then the sensory perceptions are just the hook, right, for your... Right, that's one possible way. The other, as David said, is that really it works both ways, meaning sometimes the initial sin is you see, it's their surim laguf, right? The eyes act as a spy of the heart, right? And sometimes it's the other way, right? Meaning one is to say these are intention, the other is to say no, they're both true, right? Sometimes it's, you know, someone is trying to be, you know, tamim and whatever, but, you know, they're in a certain situation and that ignites the HRR, and you need to understand that pathway to fight it, right? Because sometimes you understand that simply being exposed to certain things is going to create problems in the way you think and the way you act, right? And therefore, yeah, the best thing you can do is protect yourself, because sometimes you're going to unwittingly respond to a certain input, right? Experiential input. And sometimes the opposite is true, right? That sometimes you either, in an aggressive sense, actually seek out those experiences that accord with your fantasies, which is, right, obviously very dangerous, right, or less pernicious, right, it's just cases where you're not seeking it out, but if you are in a situation where you do fantasize, then sensory input becomes more dangerous, because it's not just what you see, but it's what you've been dreaming about, right? I don't know which it is, right? I don't know if these are different traditions where they're actually arguing. I don't know if you have to believe that they're arguing, right? Because if you're arguing, then you really, I think, have one midrash which gives a lot more room to free will, and the other one which just says, look, whatever you see, that's going to change it. On the other hand, to say that these are two different perceptions, right, where Chazal are being very sharp here and noticing that on the one hand, yes, sometimes the eyes act as the spies for the heart, and that's one pathway you have to be worried about, right? And that's why, again, Chazal don't just tell you don't do some forbidden things, but they tell you, like, avoid situations in which you might see things which, you know, it's not your fault, but still, you shouldn't do that. On the other hand, Chazal emphasize so much having proper thoughts, right? My guess is that it's more the latter, that Chazal are analyzing the different psychologies of sin, and they're telling you it's clear that the einayim and the lev, the, you know, even not just the eyes, but sensory perception and fantasy and imagination work together to shape the experiences you have, but they can go either way, and you need to be sensitive to the implications of both of those paths if you actually want to make sure that you don't fall into the trap. And I think that's probably, right, a better way. And even if the midrashim themselves are intentioned, right, they are both true, right? These are both different psychological realities that you should be sensitive to. Okay, fine.